Hi, I'm Christina Applegate.
And I'm Jamie Lynn Sigler.
And this is
Messy. Hi.
Hi.
So we have not spoken in a while, like on purpose, because I like feel like a lot of our like stuff I want to save. I don't want anyone to miss out on, but we just got back from, both got back from a lot of travel.
Yep.
Which you and I like talked at length about our anxieties about, because I think for me, like anytime, like I can feel very empowered by what I accomplish and what I can do within my little world. But sometimes when I step out of it is when I'm like, oh, I'm disabled, or oh, this is harder. Or sometimes you're pleasantly surprised. So I'll start by asking you, how are you and how was your trip?
How was my trip? It was great. It was very family oriented because my family is all, well, my husband's family is all in the Netherlands. So it was a very big family get together. So it was, we spent 3 days in Amsterdam and then 6 days in a place called Eibergen, which is about 2 hours outside of Amsterdam, which is just all meadows and cows and bike riding trails. Cause you know, it's a bike culture there. So it's very much like everyone's on a bike, which I love, and spent a lot of time with family and then ended up in Paris for 3 days in traffic, but also Paris. We love Paris, but it was like, yeah. It was like culture shock coming from like the middle of nowhere with cows and beauty and mills and, you know, windmills and everything. And to like, you know, yeah. A lot of that, but it was great. And I ended up walking I couldn't believe it. And the first couple of days I walked with my cane, and then I started to feel like that was actually hindering me a little bit in some weird way. Like all of a sudden this like strange superpower took over, and I just ended up walking without my cane the whole rest of the time. And was amazed by it because I, for 2 years, haven't gone over maybe 2,000 steps in a day. Like that's it. And I was looking at my Fitbit and it was like 9,000 a day.
Oh my God.
I know, right?
Well, because you and I, like prior to you going, I remember you were telling you like, we're going to maybe rent a scooter or like—
Oh no, I got an electric wheelchair to bring.
Yeah.
And I ended up not bringing it because it was so huge. And I had a bad feeling about, you know, Martijn having to take it in and out of vans and take it in and out of, you know, I just thought it didn't want to put a burden. Like my whole thing was, don't be a burden to everybody.
Yeah, well, that's a big thing.
That's a big thing. You feel like you are the burden. And I was the caboose, you know, anytime we did walk anywhere or ride bikes, I was always way behind and I always felt bad, but I didn't care. Like they could leave me in the dust. I know how to get myself around. I'm a big girl. But thank God I didn't bring it, because the rental car we got in Amsterdam was like a compact, like we couldn't even like almost fit any of our suitcases in there. So I ended up not bringing it. Now I've got this like very expensive, beautiful, which I will say by Rolls, which is actually a Dutch company. They make these amazing electric so that you're, you know, have autonomy. You can kind of do your own thing and get and go. Now I have that here. So, and I could have just gotten it there because it would be easier than them sending it here and then me lugging it there. But
you didn't need it.
I didn't need it. I didn't need it. I need it. I need wheelchairs in the airport. That is.
Yes. A wheelchair in an airport. It took me a while to finally ask for it. I felt bad asking for it. I felt weird asking for it, but it is a savior.
It's a game changer. Of course, on our way back, they didn't have one at the airport in Paris, and they didn't have one when we landed in LAX. So that was a bit of a struggle, but even though I was like on the list, they still let me go through the wheelchair part of customs, which the customs was like 500 people deep. And I got to go through the wheelchair line with my whole family, which was like game changer.
A wheelchair international through customs. I swear to God, it's the only reason one time I made my flight. The only reason.
I don't know if you feel this way. When you get into an airport, the anxiety of being in an airport, the lighting, the people, the rush, the energy affects our nervous system, which people don't, if you don't understand what MS is. Oh, by the way, Jamie and I have MS, but we'd like let you know, it's a disease of the nervous system. It affects your nervous system. So that means anything, any kind of stress or anxiety will start to shut down Well, for me, yeah. at least, I don't know about you, but my legs will just go to noodles and be done. And I get flipped out. I get like major anxiety, which I never felt before. So having a wheelchair just kind of, well, I couldn't walk through a whole airport. There's no way. Like when they're like, well, it's a 10-minute walk to the gate. I'd be like, yeah, sure. Okay. No, that's never going to happen.
When I was in Delta in New York at JFK, the lady was like, it's 2.1 miles from security to your gate. I was like, that's fucking crazy. First of all, it's like enough for me to ask my little 5-year-old to like lug his little suitcase down there. It's so far. So yes.
Yes. We need our little carts, our beep beeps and our wheelchairs, and it's much easier. So
you talked about a superpower taking over you, but for me, like, I think that's more like sort of what I was talking about, if where you can get out of your element and then be like freaked out. It almost was the opposite with you, where like you got out of your element, and you and I spoke briefly, and you mentioned to me like it was almost like a purpose that you had every day, that you were able to see how much more you could physically do. And I think that's like really important for you to realize, and a lot of other people to realize as well.
Yeah, I think that, you know, being new to this, right, the devastation of it has taken over to the point where I don't want to try. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the same for a lot of people who are a year in, 2 years in, or even 20 years in, this like feeling of like just giving up, and I'm never going to be better. You know, I'm probably just going to get worse. Like all those things go through your head. And I was so afraid of this trip. I was like, I'm probably going to end up being in the hotel by myself the entire time. That's kind of how I prepared myself for it. I didn't want to be a burden. I didn't want to hurt myself. I didn't want to overexert. And I did take those moments for myself. Like when they wanted to ride bikes for 4 more hours, I was like, yeah, you know what? Not for me. And I was okay with it. Went back to the hotel, watched some whatever Judge Judy, because that's about all I could find on the TV. And
she's an international star. She's an
international superstar. And that's what I would do. And that was good, because then I could kind of reset.
Yes.
But it was hard, like seeing everyone's backs, you know,
sure.
The group of many, and just kind of being like the little caboose the whole time, which, you know, is a hard feeling. But then everyone kind of saw that and then would try to stick with me and make me feel like, you know, we could walk at my pace too.
That's great.
So I felt good about it.
I'm so glad. I'm so relieved. I'm so happy for you. Like, I think that this is hopefully just even a tiny like bit of light for you in this sort of foggy mess that we can have in MS, like of just that there's still possibility. You know, you really were, like you said, you're preparing yourself for the worst, but you were capable of so much more. And what's interesting is I had like a very opposite experience where I like work really hard on like positivity and like, I can do it. Sure. I can do it. I got it. I can do it. And I had this big trip. I had done some travel earlier in the month, but I had this big trip planned to New York with my family. And prior, a couple of my girlfriends like all got together and they're like, let's all go meet in Cabo for a couple of days. We haven't seen each other. We haven't all been able to connect. It'll be so fun. And I started to feel a little anxiety before I left, because like you, like, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to slow anyone down, even though I'm with my best friends, my sisters. But the trip was so much harder than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, shit.
It was hot, which, you know, the heat is not our friend, which makes everything so much harder. But, you know, even though I'm with my closest friends, it's like really hard for me. I don't want to constantly be like asking for help or telling them how I'm feeling or telling them how I'm struggling. So it was like 3 days of me just like sucking it up, but it really took its toll, you know, like having to bring my walking sticks out with me or having to hang on to my girlfriends or, you know, in and out from out of the pool and out of the beach. And, you know, you don't want to put yourself in these like weird compromising, like contortion, like things to like get up in your fucking bathing suit, but like in front of strangers at a pool. But you know, I did it because I try to act like I don't care, even though I do.
Of course you care. And I was going to say too, like when with the burden thing, we have to remember too, because I got the same thing. Like I thought everyone was going to resent me. Mm-hmm. You know, Martine was going to resent me that I was ruining the trip. Like I literally was in that same space. And what we have to remember too, and I think this goes for everyone in our lives, they are suffering through this with us, you know, yes. They feel horrible that we feel like this. And kind of this beautiful humanity came out of it, of sides of people that I had didn't know existed, that of real selflessness and really wanting to be of service and help. Yes. But we hope that that's the case for most people, but continue what you were saying. I'm sorry.
I love that for you. And yes, I have experienced that many, many times. And I can echo that, that like, it's really beautiful just when you're actually vulnerable to see that people like really want to be of service and want to help. But I think for me, then I went straight from there to New York and like busy, like with family and kids. And we did a lot of great things, going to the Yankee game and this and that. And I got stuck in this loop of constantly thinking about how much easier it would be for me if I didn't have this. And it was like taking me out of the moment and taking me out of the present. So it was almost just like I was like barreling through all of these things, but like barely enjoying it. And like one night, especially after the Yankee game, my husband and I got the kids to sleep and we were just sort of sitting there and he could feel me being bummed, even though I wasn't talking about it. And he's like, "What?" And I was like, "You know, I hate that I'm like this far into it and I'm still like wondering what my life would be like if I didn't have to deal with this." And he was like, "I get that. And I'm so sorry for you. But in the end of the day, Jamie, you did it. You're doing it and you did it." And it was the little bit of push that I needed to sort of break me out of that loop, which I'm sure I'll find myself in again because I've been there before. But I think that that was like a really important reminder for me and like for any of us with anything that we're doing. Like it can feel when you don't feel like things are improving or getting better despite your best efforts in whatever it is, whether it's your health, your career, your relationships, whatever it is, like sometimes you just have to sit back and look at yourself and what you're doing and just be like, "But I'm doing it. I'm trying." And that's so much better than another alternative, you know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've often thought it would be easier on everyone if I wasn't here, you know? That's a thought. Like, wouldn't it be so much easier and not a burden on my daughter who like is on vacation and is watching her mom sleep all day and me not being able to go with her to the Barbie movie and stuff because I can't sit through a movie because my legs hurt too much. And like just things like that, I think, what is this doing to her? And that's where my heart breaks constantly. She came in last night. I've been sleeping since like 4 o'clock or something. And because since I've been home, I'm like, my body's like, "Yeah, fuck you. Thanks for the, it was fun while it lasted while you're walking. And now we're going to shut you down." And LA is such, There's nothing to do here. Like there, I was like, I wanted to be outside. I wanted to walk. I wanted to walk around. I want to move to Amsterdam. I don't want to be here. There's nothing for me to do here. It's, you know, not to put down an entire city, but it's like, for me, I need to have that push of something. Anyway, I came home. And she came in while I was
used to having work all the time. Do you know what I mean? Like you have a purpose, somewhere to go. I get that.
I got nothing now, but she came in and I was half asleep and she just kissed me on my forehead and said, "I love you," and walked out. And I just started crying when she left because I was like, she just missed. I had been asleep for like 5 hours and wasn't there for her to make her dinner or do anything. I was out.
But you just took an epic vacation with her and you did a lot of things with her. I'm going to be Cutter, my husband, to you right now, but you did it and you did a lot with her and you show up for her always when it matters and you're there with her. I wouldn't be too hard on yourself.
Oh, it's hard not to
be.
I think anyone listening to this who has this, like, I hope you all just feel like what we feel and that we just know that you're not alone and feeling those feelings of desperation and to have a friend like you, for me to have a friend like you to sit there and go, look at the positive side of it. Because I oftentimes, 90% of the time, don't look at the positive side of all of it. I look at the negative side and get bummed out and self-loathing and all of those things and pissed off and resentful. And
But I wanted to tell you my experience as well, because you can also still have a pissed off, bummed out part experience of it as well. Like, you know, you have to let yourself feel everything. And I want to quickly, I don't know if this is segueing into it, but I just want to say, you know, we talked about that beautiful painting, Christina's World, and like the eerie, like, connection that it has to you and to us, and just sort of all of those crazy coincidences. And Andrew Wyeth, the painter, we found a quote from him about the painting. Do you want to read it, Christina?
I think you should read it. I'll start crying.
Okay.
Because it's beautiful.
This was his quote, because it's kind of what we were talking about. And it's beautiful because I think this is how other people see us. And I think it's important to remember. He said, "The challenge to me was to do justice to her extraordinary conquest of a life which most people would consider hopeless. If in some small way I have been able to paint to make the viewer sense that her world may be limited physically, but by no means spiritually, then I have achieved what I have set out to do."
It's so incredible.
It's amazing, because I really think it's like important for all of us as human beings. It's so, like, we never see ourselves in 3D. Do you know what I mean? Like, you ever hear that if you actually ever saw yourself in person, you wouldn't recognize yourself? Because, like, we only see ourselves as, like, this sort of reflected image. Like, we wouldn't even recognize ourselves if we ever saw ourselves.
No, I project all of it into the mirror, and I don't even look in the mirror. So, firstly.
But, like, it's really important to realize and take a minute to, like, see ourselves through other people's eyes, especially people who loves us eyes. Like, I can look at you and think you are extraordinary, what you deal with. And it's almost like I don't even recognize that I deal with what you deal with. Do you know what I mean? I think there's nothing wrong with us getting these small reminders as human beings of just the incredible amount of will and strength it takes to get up out of bed every day. You know, life is hard. Life is complicated, especially now. This world is fucked up. And, like, I just wish we all gave ourselves more credit for what we all deal with, because everyone's got a lot of shit.
Yeah, I know. It's the waking up is, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't know how you feel in the morning, but, man, I can't even, like, turn over to, like, grab my water sometimes, because, you know, everything has shut down overnight, and it just feels like such a burden to go, now I got to buckle up and get to the bathroom or whatever that it is until everybody wakes up, until the legs wake up and the arms wake up and everybody wakes up. It's such a...
I found a new little tool.
Okay.
That's been helping me. Maybe it can help you or anybody out there. In fact, my son steals this thing from me every day and uses it. He loves it. Okay. It's called a brain tap. It is these headphones with these little goggles that come down, and there's an app for it, and there's hundreds of meditations, whether it's just music or guided or whatever it is that you can choose from. Like, there was one that was like, you and a gluten-free life, like if you're struggling with food or whatever. But there's ones that, like, will activate, like, brain healing, and it sends light through your ears and eyes, and you just sit there and it takes you into a parasympathetic state. And I usually use it every morning and night. There's meditations that are anywhere from 8 minutes to 50 minutes. And my husband has said to me, he was like, I don't know what's going on with this thing, but your energy feels very, like, steady. Like, I don't think people realize MS, like, really can affect your mood, like, greatly. You can almost feel, like, very PMS-y in the sense that, like, you can't control sort of your anxieties or things that are coming up or what's stimulating you or affecting you. Like you said, our nervous systems are very sensitive. And I really feel a big difference from using this. It's called a brain tap.
I just texted it to myself. So that I have it, because I need that, because it's the mornings when I feel the most burden and I feel the most pissed off and I feel the most pain and I just want to roll over
and
go back to sleep.
That's not a way to start your day.
No, but what is my day? You know, I mean, I don't know how other people feel, but, like, my day is now that I don't work, I'm just sitting here and it's really depressing. And, you know, but I just got here though. Here's a good thing. I got a volleyball net for my pool.
Oh, that's fun.
And the last 2 days we've been playing at, you know, at night, obviously, because it's too fucking hot here.
Yeah.
But we've been playing. I'm terrible at it, but it's like something, you know, it's like I get in the pool and we play volleyball.
Yes.
There's no volleys. There's no volley to the volleyball. There's no anyone hitting it back to each other. It's literally just someone serving and then it just flopping into the water. But it's something to like look forward to, I guess, every day.
100%. I think it's finding those little things. Right now, for me, it's my son and I play Super Mario Brothers together.
That's great.
It's so, we've gotten so far. We're doing so good.
I'm so proud of you, Jamie.
Thank you. We've really put in a lot of time.
Messy is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Oh, we have talked so much about this podcast and how it's felt like therapy for us. And obviously, for us to be able to talk the way we talk on this show, we've had therapy ourselves.
I mean, I was like 13 when I started therapy.
Yeah.
Of course I needed it then. I probably need it more now. But what I love is that things like BetterHelp are there to take the stigma away. Could you imagine back in when we were young?
No.
There would be an app. Well, there wasn't cell phones as well, but you know that there would be somewhere yeah. that everyone could go to and there isn't a judgment. I love this time for our kids. I love this time for humanity, that it is completely beautifully normal to talk to someone.
Absolutely. And BetterHelp makes it so easy and convenient. You don't even have to leave your home for this. It is entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is you go to BetterHelp, you fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can also switch therapists at any time for no additional charge if it isn't working for you, and you can give yourself the gift of therapy, which we love.
So visit betterhelp.com/messy today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/messy. What are you watching right now, by the way?
Oh, Talk to me.
What's new? What are we watching?
There's nothing left to watch. I'm watching reruns of Project Runway right now. So that's where I'm at.
I saw your post.
Can you believe that one?
No, you need to tell you.
Okay.
Need to talk about
so here,
this.
Everybody listen. If you feel like it, go back to season 17 of Project Runway. This is a year before the coronavirus. Okay. A year. Or like just on the precipice, but it wasn't, no one, you know, there was no Wuhan. There wasn't nothing right. without yet. There was literally a designer on there. His name was COVID. And he did a look with a girl with a face mask on, a medical face mask on that matched the dress.
Blowing.
And there she is walking down the thing, the runway, and right underneath it, it says COVID Kapoor. And she's standing there looking great with a beautifully fashionable face mask, like what we all want.
It's crazy.
His name was COVID. With a K.
Wait, what a bummer of a name to have now.
Fucking, what a bummer for him. I was wondering, like, have you changed it? I want to know, like, are you going through life? Like, just call me Kenny boy. I don't know. Like, what? You cannot be called COVID right now.
You cannot be called COVID. It's crazy.
Like, hi, I'm COVID. I'm the Black Plague. No, you can't say that. Like, it's got to be one of the other.
I need a follow-up on COVID.
You got to look. Well, yep, COVID Kapoor.
COVID Kapoor.
Still COVID Kapoor.
Yep.
Holy
Should we give him a follow?
We should give him a follow and be like, aw, bummer, buddy. But he called it. It was like a premonition.
He fucking called it. That's what I'm saying.
It was a fucking portend, man.
This man might be the answer to a lot of things.
He might be the magical. He might be the second coming. He might be the guy.
Listen, I'm going to give him a follow now. I need to know what he's thinking about.
I want to see what else I wonder if he's like, yeah, I started the fashionable mask. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Remember everyone was like making like Versace masks and stuff. Like he's the first person to make one out of cloth. Like that was pretty right. that matched the dress.
That's right.
Now we're
That's
all in right. N95s because, you know, those weren't working.
Not fashion.
It's not fashionable to have the cobs. So
the Coves is not fashionable.
No. Okay. Well, we have a question from someone named Ashley. Hi, sweet Ashley. Jamie, what were your first signs of MS? And Christina, I was diagnosed with MS 6 years ago and 2 years ago with breast cancer. Do you think it was related somehow? Interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to toss to you because I'm going to we'll talk about the double whammy.
My first symptoms were bladder incontinence, which it was 19. I thought it was like UTIs. And then I started getting like numbness, tingling in my feces. And in the first round of symptoms, it was like this weird sensation where it was that feeling like right before pins and needles, you know, and you're waiting for the pins and needles to come and they don't come. And it was rising. Like every day I felt like it was started at my ankles and it was at my shins and it was at my knees and it was at my thighs and it was at my hips. And that's finally when I got to my hips, I went to the hospital.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of the general through line, I think, is that weird feeling of like when your foot falls asleep and then it starts to wake up.
Yeah.
That horrible cramping, tingling weirdness that happens. That's kind of how I think, well, for me, that's kind of how I feel all day long. Like that, you know, when people are like, can't you stand? And you're like, just give me a minute. You know, when your foot falls asleep and then mm-hmm. it just never wakes up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a loud symptom. So I feel mm-hmm. like, who knows, there could have been more prior that I just was not registering, but that symptom was the loudest enough for me to get checked out.
I wish I had listened when my leg buckled one time playing tennis, like 5 years ago. And my teacher was like, did you not get enough sleep? You know, he's a coach. So he's like kind of mean.
Yeah.
He like blamed it on me, like not getting enough sleep. And I was like, I had sleep. It's hot out. I don't know. I need water. But it was just like buckled once. And then I kicked his ass. I like actually beat him in our rally and like, you know,
our
volley or whatever the heck it was called. I haven't played tennis in 3 years. So, you know,
a volley.
I do belong to a tennis club and I pay for that. Isn't that like oxymoronic?
That sounds like something I do too.
The lady with MS.
But
is
I
like,
will play tennis again.
It's going to happen because I have hope. I have hope for tennis.
Okay. What was the other question was about breast cancer and MS being related.
No, absolutely not.
I don't think so either.
No. And also breast cancer is such a tricky disease because I'm BRCA. So I was going to get it pretty much anyway. What we know about MS is that this is not genetic. This is not, has nothing to do with cancer. If they knew how we got it, there would probably be better ways to get out of it. So, you know, it's not like someone gets lung cancer and they were a big smoker and you're like, okay, well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's a reason that we get MS. There are reasons we have flares. There's reasons our symptoms get worse. Yes, mm-hmm. we can say that those things are very true. But if they knew how we got this, then we'd have a bigger understanding of how to treat it. And thankfully, we have these medications that are literally slowing down, if not stopping progression. So mm-hmm. they can't say stopping progression, obviously, those companies, because that would be negligent. But for the last 3 years, I've had no new lesions and no active lesions since I started my treatment programs. I know, knock on all woods.
Knocking on all the things.
I'm knocking on my boner. That's my wood.
Oh, knock God. On that wood.
Oh man.
I'm knocking on my wood box.
I'm such an unfortunate person with my
language. You are the best
language.
Person.
Why did I think of a boner? Like, why am I knocking on my
you
boner?
You bring out my inner 10-year-old. It's the best.
I really am a 12-year-old boy.
You are. You and my son would just vibe so hard.
Oh my God. And my daughter too. She's.
Yes.
I've passed, unfortunately, this sickness down to her. No, not the sicknesses that we're talking about. Like my sick sense of humor. My sick, very sick sense of humor. I don't think there's any correlation between the two. You and I just got lucky. Okay. We got lucky. We got breast cancer and MS. Yippee for us.
Time to play the lottery, you two.
But I know, but I'm knowing that you're going to be okay, Ashley. I know you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, no matter what, just keep saying to yourself that you're going to be okay.
We'll add you to our prayer circle.
Yes.
All of you.
Yes, of course. Except for this one person. Just kidding.
We'll make a burn book.
We're going to make a burn book of who we don't pray for. That would be really, really sick. There's a couple people out in the world that I'm pretty good with not praying for their
good. Yeah, they're on their own.
They're good. They suck. Not going to mention their name.
They're on their own. All right, we got a question from Ryan. Hello, ladies. I have always admired both of you, even more so now as I am somewhat recently diagnosed with MS myself last July. My questions I have for you are this. Is there something specific you would have done differently when you were newly diagnosed? Or is there one major piece of advice you have for the newly diagnosed to do? I know everyone is different with this stupid disease, but I'm trying to gather as much information as I can. Thank you both. And I can't tell you how wonderful it is you're doing this podcast. Thanks, Ryan.
Go for it, girl.
Well, when I was diagnosed, I was 20. I was young. I was immature. I was scared. And I did not stay consistent with my treatment. And I have a lot of regrets about that. I wish that I paid more attention to the fact that I had MS. I wish that I took more responsibility, and I wish that I took a little bit better care of myself. I really let a lot of years go by without doing that. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. I don't know how different my life or my body would be if I hadn't. But all I can do is take that and learn from it and move forward. And I am happy with my treatment now. And more importantly, I feel like I've gained a voice when it comes to my choices of treatment. Like, I've fully discussed with my doctor all of the options out there, because there are a lot. And I found the medication that was like the best for me and my lifestyle and my needs. And so I think that it can be scary to sit in a doctor's office and have them sort of list all the things you need to do or should do. But I think that you need to also do your own research and be your own advocate and understand that you do have a voice in this conversation.
Yeah. It's the same. I wish I had listened to my body earlier, because my symptoms would probably have been less intrusive on my life. A little tingling in the toes I can deal with, but then I let it go so long before I started treatments, which there are great treatments, and you can live a very long life with these great treatments. We're not going to mention their names, but I'm sure your doctor will know. And I wish that I had listened. I am the worst MSer ever. I am doing like the polar opposite of what I've been told to do, like exercise and eat a Mediterranean diet and, you know, all these things that you're told to do by your neuro, but I'm like, I'm tired, don't feel like it. And I'm kind of the worst. And I know that the more I stay stagnant, and I'm going to say that to a newly diagnosed person, if you stay stagnant, your symptoms will get worse, but not permanently. Temporarily. So remember that. Just know that there's going to be a day, because you've been laying in bed or you're crying or you're upset or whatever the fuck is going on, and you're going to have a bad leg day. But the second you're like, no, I've got to do this. I have to push and I've got to do this. Then you kind of feel your body reacting to that as well. So my advice is like, listen to your doctors, because I don't. And then I have bad shit leg days, and then I'm complaining about that, and then I get back in bed because I'm having a bad leg day, and then it's like cyclical, and it's stupid. I don't know. I don't eat a Mediterranean diet.
I'm starting to. Do you know what I just gave up a few days ago?
What?
Sugar.
Oh, okay.
This is very hard for me.
Oh, wow. Do tell. because I hate sugar.
Very hard.
So now you can.
I love sugar.
Hate sugar.
And I started to get really. I started to get so good about it too. Like even in my coffee.
Except for David Rios. Oh.
Well, we need to make the exceptions.
Yeah.
For gifts from heaven.
Gifts from heaven. Yeah.
But I was even just doing like maple syrup in my coffee and honey. And it was instead of chocolate bars, I would eat this thing called Honey Mamas, which are so good. But I understand that sugar ain't good for us. So I am 5 days no sugar now.
Wow.
And so
you're sobes. You're sobes
I'm
off the sobes, sugar.
I'm sober sugar. Sugar sober.
Nice.
5 days. And, but I'm having fruit and doing the Mediterranean. So BRB, I'll report back.
Okay.
But it's just one of those things where I'm like, why not? I've tried a lot of things in the past, but I think that also like getting in the whole mind, body, spirit place, like things have to line up for you to really commit, I think. And sometimes life is just not conducive to that. And that's okay. And you can give yourself grace through that. But sometimes when you feel like things are lining up for you to possibly commit to something, you should do it.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at.
There you go. I know we're supposed to do that. I don't, you know, like some listeners may not know this. I have a motility issue between my stomach and my intestines. They don't love each other very much right now. So trying to figure that out. I think it's probably because I am immobile and I just lay here. So like food just sits in my stomach and then it can't get down my intestinal tract and I can't get through everybody. And then by the time it comes to my butthole, it's just everybody's mad. And then I throw up. So my diet is a piece of cinnamon toast in the morning. Now I'm not saying that that's a good thing, but I keep
We're
it
just
down.
Being honest right now.
Yeah. I'm being honest. I don't puke it up. And then that's what I eat.
We're going to get there.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to one more question now.
Okay. Yeah. And then we'll go.
Hi, my MS sisters. Firstly, thank you for shining a light on this cruel disease. My question is, what techniques or things do you do to help with your mental health? As MS is as much mental as it is physical. I got also diagnosed in 2021, age 25. So the balance is a struggle. Danielle.
Oh my God, Danielle, I'm so sorry I laughed. It's just that
she's a baby
girl. I was only laughing because of the mental part. And Jamie knows that my mental state is real shit. I'm so sorry that this has happened at this age. And I think this is a Jamie question because I'm 52. So
it's not just a Jamie question.
Well, but because you're inspiring and I am an a-hole.
Well, no. Like we say, if you put you and I together, we would just be one hell of a human.
Yes.
But, or one hell of a warrior.
Oh, okay.
I said that just to piss you off.
I hate that word.
I know. Oh, honey.
Wait, hold on. It makes me think of that movie, Warriors. From the 70s.
Yes, what a weird cut. My husband quotes that movie often, actually. It's very strange.
What's it called again?
Warriors?
Danielle, we're so sorry that we've gone off the cuff, but
isn't
this is how we
Warriors?
Talk. Warriors. I need sleep.
So okay, weird.
Danielle, we have Danielle. Total respect for you. And I'm going to let the
Honey,
better person
well,
answer this.
Laughter helps. Okay. Laughter, in whatever form, is very important. It's has to remind yourself that there is still things to be joyful and things to laugh about. Honesty with your feelings, therapy, in whatever form that is, talking to a friend, talking to a professional, talking to somebody online that you met.
Whiskey. Just kidding. No, it's probably not a good idea.
She's 25. Might be hard for her.
Long Island iced tea goes down faster. Go ahead.
That's true. I really, genuinely felt a massive shift in my mental health when I started meditating regularly. I was the quote unquote worst meditator. I never understood it. I would have a million thoughts in my head, think I'm doing it wrong, this. And I had one beautiful person sit down with me one day and explained to me, there's no way that you can ever do it wrong. The thoughts in your head, if you kind of take them and look at them like a, picture them like a CNN ticker, right? Like they're always going to be there and they could be at the bottom of the screen.
Hold on. She might be Fox News. So inclusive.
Okay. Or sorry, or Fox or whatever news source you prefer. And you can have your, have it feel like it's just at the bottom of the screen and you can choose to pick it up or not, but just meditation. There's a lot of guided meditation apps if you don't like silence. I don't know, just finding time to slow down for 10 minutes a day has really helped a lot recenter me, especially in those moments where I feel like I've had a day where I was in fight or flight all day, which I've had years of that. I've had years where I think I was literally in fight or flight. There's also something else I did a very, very long time ago.
Heroin. Sorry, this is just me.
Not that. I actually didn't do heroin. I did. I was pregnant. I was in my second pregnancy and I was so depressed. I was so, so, so depressed. And I didn't know if it was from MS or my pregnancy, the way it was hitting me. And I went to this beautiful psychologist and we talked about all of the different options of how to take care of myself. And then he told me about this thing called, hold on, I got to pause and I got to think with my brain right now, what's it called? TMS. TMS. Allison, we
Transcendental
Transmagnetic. Will you look up what it is, Allison? So it's a very, very old technology or therapy. It's been around since like the 60s. And essentially there's like this thing that like taps on your brain and your first session, they trial it out and they find where it taps, where it makes your pinky move. And when they find that spot, that's the right spot. And they hook it up, you up to this helmet and you sit like 5-6 days a week for a couple of weeks. And it just taps there. And it had Netflix set up. I binged all these shows and it just kept tapping on my head and tapping on my head. And transmagnetic stimulation. Okay, here's called transmagnetic stimulation is a non-invasive form of brain stimulation in which a changing magnetic field is used to induce an electric current at a specific area of the brain through electromagnetic induction. The way it shifted myself, I cannot even begin to explain. And so that was a moment of desperation for me and in a moment in time where feelings felt really heavy and really dark and I was really scared. And that was really helpful. And there's tons of tools out there. I think don't let yourself go too long fighting this alone. There's a lot of different therapies and there's a lot of different ways that you can take care of yourself. Like we said, whether it's even just talking or more, you know, specific things like the TMS, but I think there's a lot of ways to take care of your mental health and it's very important to do so.
I'm going to speak upon this because I've been so resistant to doing all the things that I know will help. And so I can only speak upon having a connection with someone and that's with Jamie. Mm-hmm. Like I've said before, if not for Jamie, I don't know how I would be dealing with this. So for me, if you're not ready to go to therapy because it's too hard to talk about this, or it's not, if you're one that can sit down and it's too hard or whatever, all the things, like there's a list of things we should be doing, but you just were diagnosed. Give yourself a minute, man. And that doesn't mean like give yourself years. Yes, I'm at 3 years and I'm like, okay, I really do need to get my shit together. I really do need this because I'm suffering and I'm broken inside and I'm heartbroken and all those things. But start little, you know, start little. Find a friend on one of these chat rooms and you can talk and you'll feel seen. And by feeling seen, you know, what do they say in religions? Where there are two or more that are gathered, it is so. So you get to a place where you feel like you are doing, like something is happening where two or more are gathered, right? I mean, we'll
that's
look
beautiful.
It up. I think it's in the Bible or something. And I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. So, you know, I don't know much about that, but I just think that you, you start small. You know, you don't need to save this, the world right now. You're getting hit. You got hit in the head with a billy club, and allow yourself that. But at some point for your quality of life, for your friends, your family, for yourself, yes, you there has to be a level of yourself that goes, okay, today I've got to do this. Now, Jamie's the one to listen to because I listen to her, but yet I don't do it all the time.
Yeah.
Naked and afraid actually gets me through the day. So that's my advice to you, is just watch naked people trying to survive in the wilderness.
Life skills.
I know how to build a whole thing, a BOMO. Do you even know what a BOMO is?
No idea.
Life skills. If you're in Africa,
you and I together.
You build a BOMO around so the animals don't come in, like the lions and the tigers and the bears. Oh my, there's no bears there, but whatever. And you build the BOMO. You've got to get your fire started right away so you can get your water boiled, because if you could die after 3 days if you don't have water. Really important. But you can go 3 weeks without food.
But not water.
That's my advice. Build a BOMO. Oh, that's metaphoric, actually. It's a BOMO. It's a protection around yourself. Oh. Build your protection around yourself.
Build your BOMO.
My God, I'm going to make spiritual cards from all the stuff I say.
I was going to say, it sounds like we need Christina's cards.
Christina's cards are going to be really offensive and then also kind of helpful.
Christina's cards.
If you find yourself out in the bush.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's chapter 7. What do you mean?
Bushwhacker. That's what I need these days. Okay, whatever.
I had a friend the day that our first podcast launched just text me, "No shaved pussies in this house," or whatever it is. I'm like, glad you liked it. Well, should we do some card pulling?
Sure.
Here's the card from my pile.
Okay.
It says, "Though we travel the world over to find the beautiful, we must carry it with us or we find it not."
Wow. Interesting.
That's travel something the world. Maybe, that's right. But you think you were finding the beautiful there, but you just carried your beautiful there. It happened to.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a good one.
I got to remind myself of that.
Yeah.
This last week's been a real struggle being back here, because I was like literally looking for pied-à-terres in Amsterdam to buy and just be like, see you, everybody. I'm going to be Dutch.
I mean, Dutch. We'd miss you. We can't do it.
Yeah. But you live in Texas and I live here. We can always Zoom.
Our time change would be very difficult.
Okay. Let's see. Yes. Time change. Okay. I'm not going to look. I'm just going to pick. Do not be concerned with the fruit of your action. Just give attention to the action itself. The fruit will come of its own accord. This is the powerful spiritual practice.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
You just got to do the thing. Just do the thing and you never know. Like our trips.
Yep.
We didn't want to go. We were scared. We put all this onus on it being shit or being great. I guess just got to be open to.
But you did it. But you did it. But you're doing it. But you did it. Yep.
And you did it. And you're going to have, we talked about riding a bike. You and I talked about, I want you on a bike.
Me too. I want to ride a bike so bad with you.
We can be the cabooses. It's okay to be the caboose.
I like being the caboose. You get like the view of how it all's happy. You don't miss anything.
The president's wave.
Yeah.
Back of it.
Save the best for last, baby.
Except for my caboose right now is in trouble, but. Oh, man.
Still a great caboose.
Thanks, hon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Well, and so it is,
right?
And
so it is, sister. And so it is. I love you.
Love you.
This show is executive produced by Christina Applegate, Jamie Lynn Siegler, and Allison Bresnick. Our audio engineer is Josh Windisch.
And if you want to show us some love, don't forget to leave the show a rating or a review.
Hi, it's Jamie. Thanks for listening. I just want to let you know I am a paid spokesperson for Novartis, but this podcast is independent from my collaboration with Novartis.